Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Live with Lon. I'm so glad that you're with us. Right now, we're going to study the Word of God, so let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, use God's Word in a mighty way in our life, we pray, Heavenly Father. Use it to point out to us areas where you are very keen, Lord Jesus, in our attention to these areas in our life, that we don't often maybe hear preach from the pulpit, but you care a lot about them, so may we care a lot about them as we listen and learn from your word today, and we pray this in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen, amen, and amen. We are studying Matthew chapter 23, where Jesus is calling the rabbis out on their sins, and there are eight woes in this chapter for the rabbis, and we're approaching the end now, and today we look at the next sin, which is that they were spiritual frauds, they were fraudulent in their spirituality. So let's look right now here at the passage. We begin in verse 25. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and the dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. When I first learned the Bible, I used to read from the Old King James. And here in the verse I just read you, verse 27, you are like the King James will say, you are like whitewashed sepulchers. And I remember as a college student reading that and going, whitewashed sepulchers, what in the world is that? I didn't know what a sepulcher was. And of course, a sepulcher simply means a tomb. And so, back to verse 25, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they're full of extortion and self-indulgence. You clean the outside of the dish and the cup, but you don't wash the inside. Can you imagine doing that when you're washing dishes? Can you imagine washing all around the outside of a bowl, but you don't clean the inside of the bowl? Can you imagine washing all around the outside of a cup, but you don't put any soap and clean on the inside of the cup? I wouldn't want you as my dishwasher. Ha! I don't drink from the outside of the cup, and I don't eat from the outside of the bowl. I want the inside clean, right? Of course. So Jesus says, you blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and the dish, and the outside of them will be clean also. Look, what Jesus is saying here is you guys are frauds. That on the outside, you work hard to look righteous and pious and godly to men and women. But you don't work that hard on the inside. It's a little bit like we saw last week. But this is worse, because this is fraudulent. They're not just being legalists. They're being fraudulent here. They're not what they look like on the outside. Once you look at them on the outside, you think, whoa, look how pious and righteous and godly these people are. But on the inside, they're full of all uncleanness, Jesus said, and self-indulgence and extortion. And then he goes on to say, verse 27, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside you're full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Well, we get this imagery, right? You know, I like to ride my daughter Jill around in the evening. She loves for me to ride her around. I mean, other people, we have people helping us, caregivers, but Jill loves having me do it. She'll pull me towards the door to the garage and pull me out through the door. She wants me to take her out, and I love taking her. And you know, sometimes when it's not dark yet outside, we will ride around cemeteries. You say, why? I don't know. Just interesting. You know, there's no traffic, and you don't have some guy tailgating you, and you're not having to pay all that much attention to who's in the side view mirror. You know what I'm saying. It's peaceful. So oftentimes we'll do that. And there's this one cemetery not far from my house over off Lee Highway here in Arlington, in Falls Church, actually. And there's some beautiful tombs there. Large marble, these incredible marble tombs that had been built in this cemetery. They're beautiful on the outside. They have pillars and, you know, capitals on top of the pillars that have been carefully carved, and they're beautiful. But if I walked inside, what would I find? Well, I'm assuming if I could walk inside, I'd find a bunch of skeletons, and it would stink. I've never walked in a tomb. I don't know if it would stink, but I assume that. Dead men's bones. That's what Jesus says here. And all ritual uncleanness. A Jewish holy man was not allowed to walk through a cemetery and go in to somebody's tomb. This is what Jesus is saying. You're not what you appear to be. He says, verse 28, even though you outwardly appear righteous to men, inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Now, folks, welcome to modern day Christianity. And I'm sure it's not just true of modern day Christianity. It's probably been true for 2,000 years, but it certainly is true of modern-day Christianity, where outwardly we go to church, and outwardly we see people, and outwardly they look so righteous and pious, and they raise their hand in worship. They say, praise the Lord! They say, amen, during the sermon, and they say, yes, God! During public prayer, and on and on and on. They always put something in the offering plate, and they're nicely dressed, and they seem to be very straight and obedient to God. Now, the question is, what are they really like in real life? I mean, they look great on the outside. Whitewashed tombs, beautiful. What are they like on the inside? And so many times when we get around these people, we find out that what's true of the on the inside doesn't match up with the image that they create and give off on the outside. Now, sometimes it does. Sometimes it does. Sometimes when you get around them, you go, wow, look at this. The person they look to be on the outside is the person they are on the inside. Boy, that's refreshing when you meet somebody like that. You know, who what you see is what you get in their walk with Christ. But I'm afraid the opposite is sometimes true as well. And it's discouraging. It's demoralizing to see this. And that's not the kind of people God wants us to be. You know, God would rather have you and me look imperfect on the outside if it was a true reflection of where we are in our walk with God. Even though we look imperfect on the outside and people might judge us, He'd rather have that because at least it's honest. At least it's real. At least it's genuine. Then he would have this dichotomy between looking like a beautiful tomb on the outside and being dead men's bones on the inside and uncleanness. I believe that. Now, that's the end of our passage, but I want to stop now and have us ask our most important question. And you know what that is, so come on with me. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. So what? Oh, yeah. How sweet it is, baby. Yeah. With this subject that we're talking about today, we come to the modern church and modern Christians. Legalism in our families, which we talked about last week, legalism in our churches is what leads people to be spiritual frauds. Let me say that again. Legalism in our families and in our churches is what leads people to being spiritual frauds. Because when the only things that are emphasized, or the primary things that are emphasized, are all these outward things, like we talked about with legalism, well, then that leads us to work hard on the outward part of us and not work hard on the inner part. You with me? So we breed in our legalistic modern-day Christianity a lot of this very spiritual fraudulent behavior. It's our own fault. I'd rather have somebody be straight up honest with me about who they are than fool me and hoodwink me. Now, how do we find out what somebody really is on the inside? Whether they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness, or whether they really match up to the beauty of the tomb on the outside. You understand? Well, it's easy. We watch them under pressure. We watch them in everyday life under the pressures of life. And people will show you who they are. I mean, they might be able to maintain the spiritual, the white sepulcher, whitewashed sepulchers for a couple hours on Sunday. But just be around them and watch them and watch everyday life squeeze them and see what comes out. Why is this? Well, because Jesus said, look at Matthew chapter 12. Verse 33, Jesus said, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. O brood of vipers, he called the rabbis, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Squeeze a person, and what's in their heart will come out, usually, of their mouth. You know, if I took a plastic cup or a paper cup and I filled it up with water, you know, just a little plastic, soft plastic cup, filled it up with water to the very brim, and then I squeezed it, and water came out and went all over the floor. And then I ask you, how come water came out of the cup? Most people would say, because you squeezed it. Well, that's not the right answer. Yes, I did squeeze it, but that's not the right answer. Why did water come out of the cup? Come on, tell me. Because water was in the cup. Are you with me? If there was no water in the cup, I could squeeze it all day long and nothing would come out of the top. But because the water was in the cup, when it got squeezed, water came out of the cup. With me? Whatever's in our heart when we get squeezed with everyday life and pressure is what comes out. Why? Because it's what's in there. That's what Jesus is saying. Makes perfect sense, right? And so, just watch when people get squeezed. You'll see what's in there. I'm not a golfer. I'm terrible. But I used to play some golf. And I would go with guys and we'd go golfing. Golfing is a wonderful thing to squeeze you. It is. Yeah, make a really bad shot. And miss a putt, and watch what comes out of people. I've played with some golfers who, when they missed a shot or ended up in hitting the ball and slicing it real bad or whatever, what came out of them? Doggone it! Ah well. I've seen some other golfers. And you squeeze them like that, I don't even want to tell you what came out of their mouth. Cursing, all kinds of nasty language, throwing their clubs, doing crazy stuff like that. What does that tell me? Well, that tells me when they walk into church in their nice suit and everything, that what I'm seeing is not the real person. The real person is that person who tossed their club and cursed everything on the golf course, including God. Right? Just watch people. You can tell, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A tree is known by its fruit. How wonderful is it to be around someone that when they get squeezed, their behavior on the inside matches their behavior on the outside. That when you squeeze them with someone hurting them, they're really willing to forgive. When you squeeze them with pain, they're really willing to trust God and not curse Him. When you squeeze them with mistreatment, what comes out of them matches what God says about not returning evil for evil. When you squeeze them and are talking about other people, what comes out of them is not slander and malice towards other people, but words that are, as the Bible says, good for building others up. Kind words. When somebody gets ahead of them, not envy, not jealousy. When someone has something they don't have, not covetousness. On and on and on. You with me? What this means is, my friends, that, and this is what I want you to take home with you today, that God is more interested in our inner reality than He is our outer appearance. He is more interested in our inner reality than He is our outward appearance. And yet we are so worried about that outward appearance not being right that we'll be judged and even in some ways punished by people for not living up to what is outwardly supposed to be in their mind a Christian. That we won't be honest about the inside. There's a song on the radio today that's talking about the church and says, you know, we put up a sign that says, just come the way you are. And then the singer says, I doubt it if we mean it, because if we did, every church pew would be crowded. Yeah, we don't really mean that so often in church. Come the way you are. Just be real with us. People walk in dressed a certain way with tattoos all over and their hair greasy and smelling of cigarettes and unshaven and what is it? You know, would the average church be really happy to welcome a bunch of these people in? Well, friends, at least they're coming and they're being real. If you saw the movie The Jesus Movement, you remember how when all the people began gathering in the church of Chuck Smith, all the his long-term, straight-laced people objected to these kids coming in because they were just who they were, and they didn't meet up to this outward whitewashed tomb look. I mean, this is not how Jesus was, and this is not how we're to be. So, let me close by saying this. Always try, as best you can, to help your outer appearance as a Christian match up with inner reality. Don't be a whitewashed sepulcher, because that's a hypocrite. And people will be far more judgmental and upset about the Christian faith if you're a hypocrite than if you're just real and you're not perfect. If you're real and you're not perfect, well, they're not perfect either. But if we're hypocrites, if we pretend to be this and then they learn that we're that, we lose all our credibility. I'd rather just be real with people. And so, okay, we're not perfect. We make mistakes. Let's, accept the responsibility, ask to be forgiven, and we move on. But at least you're real, and at least you don't lose, for yourself and for Christianity, our credibility with people. Now, you say in closing that many of the people who go to churches where everything is about being a whitewashed sepulcher, they will judge you and they will be harsh on you if you're just real. You know what? Find a church and some Christian friends that aren't that way. I was pastor for 50 years before I stepped down back in 2017 from being a full-time pastor. And you know what's really sad about pastors I would meet everywhere I went, conferences, whatever? It's that so many of these poor men lived a life of fear with their congregations. Fears that they couldn't be real. Fears that they couldn't be honest. Fears that they couldn't be just genuine. Fears that they couldn't tell people they were struggling. Fears that they couldn't be honest about their problems. Why? Because these people, as pastors, were supposed to be whitewashed tombs. They weren't supposed to be anything but perfect and spiritual and godly, and they got it all under control. And if they were real and told people about their real struggles, the people would fire them. And indeed, that would probably happen at a lot of churches. So these poor men lived in lonely isolation that they couldn't break out of with anyone for fear that the whitewashed tombs in the church, who probably had all the same problems, frankly, would turn on them. How sad. How sad that we're that way with each other. You say, well, it sure was great that you had a church situation that was different. Friends, my church situation wasn't all that different. Don't kid yourself. There were people in the church I was pastoring who, if I really was honest about all of my struggles in a small group somewhere, and they were in the group, it wouldn't turn out pretty. So I lived in lonely isolation too, in many respects. Now, there were a few people I could be honest with, but not very many. This is sad that this is our brand of Christianity today. Let's encourage people to be real, and let's love them, even when they have problems. Let's not hold people to some performance standard of being whitewashed tombs that we ourselves can't live up to. Remember, the church, and if you came to the church where I preach, you heard this a lot, the church is a hospital for sinners. It's not a museum for saints. It's a hospital for sinners. We're all sinners. When you come to the hospital, people don't expect you to be in perfectly good health or you wouldn't be at the hospital. May that be true spiritually of us as Christians today. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, deliver us from being modern-day Pharisees and Sadducees and rabbis and scribes from the days of Jesus, who held each other and everybody else up to this outward appearance of piety, when in reality no one was really like that or could meet that standard. Lord, today, yes, we should strive to be outwardly obedient to you and outwardly holy in our behavior. Yes, of course we should strive for that. But Lord, help us to give people the freedom to be imperfect and to love them because we are imperfect. And we want people and need people to love us when we're honest about our struggles. Help us, Lord, all of us, to hear Jesus' words today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. See you next week on Live with Lon.